One of the most powerful things that you can do in your life is question your belief system and whether it serves you or not. You know, when you do that, it's almost like you're pulling back the curtain on how reality works. And when you have that as a skill set, you'll always be able to keep on up-leveling what you believe, whether it's about money, whether it's about opportunity, whether it's about your career, whether it's about your love life, whatever it is about, you'll always have the opportunity to upgrade it. Abundance is an inside job, and your intuition is the key to unlocking it all. Hello and welcome, folks. Welcome to the Intuitive Abundance Podcast. This is your host, Rebecca Davison. This is episode 49. And today, folks, I'm excited to speak to you about the questions that you have in my Facebook group. If you don't know already, folks, I have a Facebook group where I do a free live training about money every week. It's called Elegant Wealth with Rebecca Davison. If you'd like to join us over in that community, look us up on Facebook and come over. Today I'm answering questions specifically from that Facebook group. So I'll mention people's name. I won't mention their last name just for privacy reasons. But if you have a burning question that you would like answered in terms of wealth creation, your finances, remembering, of course, that I do have a financial banking background. So I do have quite a broad spectrum in regards to understanding money from a financial institute point of view, but also from doing the energetics and manifestation. So the first question that we have today is from Susanna. And Susanna says, even though I only half believe it, it's not a good time to go into business, i.e. with a worldwide recession looming large and rampant inflation, and people aren't willing to pay that much here in this country. Because she's just recently relocated from a different country where people seemed more willing or able to spend money. So I love this question because this is really an internal versus an external question. And what do I mean by that? Your internal world and your belief system and what you see externally. So one of the first things we need to understand when it comes to wealth creation is that we are the master of our own destiny. There is no limitation outside of us, but we can perceive that because we can hear things from people talking about the economy or interest rates going up and down. And then, of course, what happens is when people are speaking about those things, they can actually start generating fear through their language. And fear, of course, just like any other emotion, is contagious. And then before we know it, we're having a conversation with somebody about the economy, and then we're going into fear. I think I might have referred to this before on another podcast, but if you're interested in the financial markets, etc., one of the really good movies to watch is The Big Short. It's got lots of famous actors in it. It's got Christian Bale. It has got Brad Pitt. It has got Ryan Gosling. It has got Steve Carell. And it actually kind of gives you a bit of a background. I mean, it's still a movie, but it's giving you the background information, and often it breaks down what a lot of the glossary is in terms of what happened in the financial crisis. Now, why is that a good movie to watch? Because it helps you to realize one thing majorly is that people can always make money no matter what is happening globally. Because of course, what happened is they identified that there was going to be a global financial crisis, and they essentially started betting on the downside, which means that the more money that other people were losing, the more money that they were making, which is mind-blowing, really, when you think about it, that there are people out there in the commodity markets who are actually making money, literally, out of other people's demise, which is not amazing, but this is where we want to look at it and go, if people have that awareness and that knowledge, then of course it's available to me, because this is the thing. There is always going to be somebody who makes money, whether the markets go up or down. You just want to be the person who's taking enough responsibility to make sure that you are financially proofing yourself. You're putting yourself in the best possible position. Now, how do you do that? First, you gain knowledge and awareness. But most importantly, you want to look at your own energetics. What do I mean by that? I want you to look at what you believe. Does that belief contribute to a feeling of certainty and safety, or does it contribute to feelings of fear? Because irony is, universal law states, as within, so without. So if you're really fearful of money, lack, the economy, what's happening out there on the inside, that is going to be reflected in your world on the outside. Which is why even I've been in business for the last decade doing coaching work, and my coaching practice has been impervious to the economy because I've created it that way. And there were always people wanting quality work. There are always people wanting to expand their abundance. There are always people desiring support and help to evolve into their best version of themselves. Now, that comes largely back to my belief system. So, Susanna, my answer to your question in regards to it's not a good time to go into business, it's always a good time to go into business. Always now is always the time. Because the sooner you get started, the sooner you'll start facing yourself. And of course, that is the work. A large part of the work is to be in that place of going, yes, it is possible. Yes, now is the right time. Yes, I'm bringing certainty to places of uncertainty inside of myself so I can start seeing that in my reality. Yes, I'm going to be the person who brings confidence. Those kind of energies, when we work that, you start becoming very magnetic. You think about it, if there's a lot of uncertainty out there in the world, you want to be the person who stands up as the lighthouse creating certainty. And that presumably is going to be offered to your clients in some way, shape, or form. Even if you are selling a tube of toothpaste, certainty that they're going to have fresh breath and a beautiful smile and be free of plaque and, you know, feel confident when they smile. Whatever it is that you're offering other people, obviously it's going to be there to their advantage. The best thing you can do is bring it back to your own belief system and go, what do I believe about this? Is it actually serving me? Does that create more fear in my body? This is why I often say to people, until you've mastered your energetic vibration and your energy fields, don't watch the news. Like, a lot of people get very sensitive and they get zapped by that kind of thing really quickly. They don't even realize that they've gone into fear or they've dropped their vibration or they're just feeling yuck afterwards because it is often very fear-based. You know, often the news, of course, they try and keep it factual, but often it is negative. I don't know if I've ever watched a whole news bulletin and it's been good news. So starting to be very aware of your own energetics, what you're exposing yourself to, what you believe, because the belief is going to determine what you attract. How magnetic you are is determined by what you are saying to yourself, what you believe in your conscious mind, but also in your subconscious. Now, we've talked extensively about the subconscious. We know that we have imprinted certain beliefs, often from our family. We've incarnated into this body, into this lifetime. We're having this experience with these people known as our family. We have to imprint a lot of their energy to survive, to be part of the tribe. But then we get older and then we might start asking ourselves, does this belief system serve me? You know, and this is really important when it comes to your family's beliefs around money, around politics, around religion, around all those areas that are often more sensitive. You really want to look at that and go, does that add to my life? Does it create more expansion, the belief system that I'm adhering to? One of the most powerful things that you can do in your life is question your belief system and whether it serves you or not. You know, when you do that, it's almost like you're pulling back the curtain on how reality works. And when you have that as a skill set, you'll always be able to keep on up-leveling what you believe, whether it's about money, whether it's about opportunity, whether it's about your career, whether it's about your love life, whatever it is about, you'll always have the opportunity to upgrade it. So of course, Susanna, there is nothing out there that is stopping you in terms of stepping into a new business. What you do need to get lined up is what you believe about yourself, what you believe about your business, what you believe about money, what you believe about your clients, how available you think they are. Doing that work will help your business grow faster than anything that is happening in the economy. One thing that people don't understand often about the financial markets is historically, folks, they always go up and down. Always. You know, if you want to get into the semantics, you might start looking at you know, if you're concerned, you start looking at, well, what's my risk profile? Which your risk profile is really like the amount of time that you have to invest versus the level of risk you're prepared to take. So when you know that for yourself and you get comfortable with that, you have more control over what you're going to invest in. You're going to be comfortable with what you're exposing yourself to risk-wise. Then you have more certainty. So knowledge is power as well when it comes to creating what you desire. In terms of creating a business, now's always the right time. What you believe is essential because what you believe will determine what you attract. So Susanna, that's how I would answer that question. Okay, I've got another question here from Jo. She says, we have a large vet bill. So I'm feeling maybe I won't be able to do a holiday next year or have my massages as I need to save for it. Maybe I'll have to get another job. Okay, so my immediate response to this question is to actually look at the emotion and the energy underneath it. So what we want to do is we want to look at, how does Joe actually feel about that? Because when we get a large bill, as often is the case, and I'm sure everybody can relate to this, you're living your life and then something happens in your reality and then you get a large bill. And it can really activate your central nervous system. It can actually bring up a lot of feeling of fear. It can activate other subconscious energy inside of yourself, like feelings of scarcity or lack. And this can put you into a little bit of a tailspin. And then the body, of course, is responding to that. But what happens is the mind is going, oh my goodness, the body is kind of freaking out here. And the mind can go into an energy which doesn't serve you, which is like, oh my goodness, I can feel this tension. It doesn't feel good. This feels bad. This must be a bad situation. So before we know it, we're really activated. And these kind of things can really feel like it's hijacked you. It can feel like it's come out of left field, like it's come out of nowhere, like it's just a circumstance that's happened. But often these are actually energetically golden opportunities to reclaim power. Now, what do I mean by that? When you have a circumstance when that happens, it shows you very clearly what emotions are coming to the surface. And of course, what you are making that mean. Now, in this circumstance, maybe I'm incorrect, but it sounds like Joe is saying, I am uncertain of my ability to be able to move into a greater level of abundance to be able to meet this bill. So it's never about the bill, folks. It's never about the invoice or what happens. It's about your belief in yourself that you can create the abundance to meet it. So in some ways, it's actually an invitation from your soul to go, are you willing to expand into being the person who has an $8,000 vet bill and it's actually not a problem? And who is that person? So in a way, it's like an elevation into your ideal self. Because what are they saying to themselves about this situation? Even if they didn't have the money available, what would they say? Probably, what am I going to do to be able to pay this bill? They're not sitting there going, oh my God, this is terrible. This is a nightmare. This is awful. I'm not going to be able to go on holiday, right? They're not taking themselves into a place where they're activating themselves into more fear. They're going into the energy of the solution. They're asking themselves the question, what is the solution? And the solution is always to be at a higher frequency, a higher level of belief in your power to be able to create the ideal outcome. So Joe, how I would approach this is I would be like, oof, right? Yes, universe, thank you so much for showing me. This is such a great opportunity for me to step into more. What does that look like? Now, one of the first things to do in this circumstance is to calm your central nervous system down and then to get yourself into a place where maybe you could do that through some deep breathing to get to a place where you're like, okay, I'm choosing neutrality because when I'm in a space of neutrality, it's easy for my intuition to give me the awareness of what to go and do to have this be resolved. Now, one of the first things you might need to do is to go, okay, I need to talk to the people who are invoicing me. Do they have a payment plan? What does that look like? What are the terms? How many months can I pay that off? What's the interest rate? Maybe it looks like going to the bank and having the same conversation while also working on your own energetics and asking yourself, what does it take to be the person who can pay this and have it be no problem? Because I guarantee it's probably going to be an elevation energetically and from mindset, from the subconscious, to be that person who can respond to the situation with less fear and more confidence. That is what the universe is really asking of you, Joe, to be the person who's stepping into that level of wealth where it's not a problem. You know, that's a very different feeling from, oh my God, I'm stuck, or money has power over me, or this is a terrible situation, right? Because what we want to do is we want to get the mind on board, and sometimes taking those little action steps to go, okay, I'm going to talk to them about their terms, that's going to help create more certainty in the mind, a greater sense of safety when you have that level of safety available, because you've taken an action step to try and support yourself and to find the remedy. Because you've taken the action step, that's when it's easier often to get the intuitive guidance. But you need to demonstrate willing, because this is how it works with manifestation and anything. You want to be the person who's taking some form of action, even if you're not 100% sure, even if you're not 100% in alignment with what your intuition's telling you right now. By taking an action, you're demonstrating willing, and the universe always responds to that. So when you're willing, the universe will willingly give you more information to support you in the resolution of this. So I would see it as an invitation, Joe. It's an invitation to step into a greater level of wealth, because if you're the person who approaches it from that perspective, you are automatically going to see more wealth in other areas of your life, because you're going to be the person who is responding that way. Let me know how that lands for you. Again, folks, if you have your own questions that you would like answered, do come and join us in Elegant Wealth on Facebook. I do a live training there every week in terms of helping you to develop the money mindset, the subconscious beliefs that are required to make abundance really easy. Okay, so Ling has a question. She says, seems like I could not keep my money. I spend it all after receiving that. Now, there's a couple of people who actually ask the same question. I seem to manifest just enough, not extra. And slightly different variation of the same question, which is, for some reason, I feel like more money will fix everything. And maybe a feeling of it's like not safe to have more. So, you know, Ling's actually talking again about a medical billing. I would also apply what I've just said to Joe in terms of, if you have a large bill, what are you doing to create safety around it through your body, having those conversations to be able to create more certainty? Because taking the initiative, folks, like this is one thing even from banking. When we had clients who, you know, like were over their credit card limit, or they were hardcore credit card debt, i.e. they hadn't made a payment on their credit card for a long time, you know, and I actually, it was a really good experience. I know that sounds crazy, because it's like, it's not an easy conversation to ring somebody up and say, hey, you know your credit card's over the limit. They know that, right? If they're paying any attention whatsoever. Sometimes, very seldomly, people didn't know, but most of the time people did know. And it's, what's very interesting about doing that is it gives you, you know, confidence to be able to approach people, especially, and notice what their emotions were. Because a lot of the time in those situations, people felt a lot of shame. So having to say to them, and if they had money available, then yes, of course, they would transfer it across. But sometimes it was more of a situation of, what are we going to do to support you in this situation? Because it doesn't look like any money's going into your credit card, and we really need to get it below its credit limit. So in situations like that, having the confidence to ring somebody up and ask for money, you know, that is a great skill set. For me personally, as a business owner, I don't have any issue saying to somebody, hey, did you know that your invoice is overdue? You know, not that that really happens that often, but I have no qualms about it because I have that as a skill set. And often people will go into a little bit of fear about doing those things because they know that maybe the other person might get activated, might feel a little ashamed. You want to try and take the emotion out of your money, because emotion in money has been placed there by you. So take it out of there. Like, money is impartial. Money is, yes, a relationship, but we want to have almost neutrality towards it. We want to be in a space where it's like, okay, yes, this is the amount of the bill. Instead of going into the emotion of it, instead of judging ourselves or beating ourselves up, it's like simply going into, I'm going to take my time, energy, and focus, and I'm going to direct it towards what the solution is, even if I can't see what the solution is right here, right now. So Ling, again, what does it take to be the energetic frequency where paying this bill is no big deal? Because that's what's always happening, folks, is when you've got presented with a big bill, the universe is asking you to be energetically become the match. Right? What does it take to have a 10 grand bill and have it be no problem? And again, your mind and central nervous system might freak out hearing that. What are you going to choose to do next? Right? Say that is your reality. What are you going to choose to do next? Firstly, right, you want to calm your central nervous system down. You want to calm your body down. You want to maybe pull out a piece of paper and go, okay, this is my game plan to help you create more certainty, which helps you to create more feelings of safety, which helps you to come back into a place of calm. When you're calm, that's when it's going to be easier to get the intuitive downloads to be able to go and take other action steps to resolve this. And also too, it's asking you some really interesting questions. Can you be okay with not knowing? Now, often what happens for people is they will get highly activated because they maybe, I guess one way of approaching it, you might be able to say that people are being a little bit control freaky, and there is nothing wrong with that. You know why? Because wanting to control anything comes from fear. And often people who are leaning towards being a control freak, goodness knows I've been there, they're just trying to create safety. So you can't beat somebody up for being a control freak. But if you're noticing that about yourself, that you're feeling very activated because you're feeling out of control, or you're feeling overwhelmed because maybe you do have a $10,000 bill and your brain's freaking out and you're feeling out of control and you're trying to control the situation, you know, again, the universe here is asking you to just soften a little, asking you to move into what does a greater power proposition look like, where you are actually relaxing into more abundance, where you are trusting that the abundant energetic frequency is there and available for you to tune into, to literally become the solution to this problem. Because it's always in your perception, and you always have control over your perception. If you want to control something, control that. Because there are a lot of things that happen that we have no control over. We don't have control sometimes if we get sick and we do end up with a large medical bill. We don't have control sometimes if we are, you know, if we have a large bill. We have to power up in our ability to be able to respond to the situation in the best way possible. And that is always at your disposal. Now, one of the number one things here that I would love to reiterate is to ask yourself, can I be okay with uncertainty? Am I willing to bring confidence to myself, even if uncertainty is present? Because for a lot of people, when uncertainty is present, they just go straight hardcore into fear. Can you be in the presence of uncertainty and shift your focus to, this is an amazing opportunity for some incredible creativity to come forward? Are you willing to switch your perspective of uncertainty to a creative circumstance? Like, it's an opportunity for creativity to go to the next level. And this is what all geniuses have done, where they sit down and they see the problem and they're trying to work out the solution, is they know that the uncertainty, the daydreaming, the spaciousness, the opportunity for information or awareness to come in, that is really the dance of uncertainty. They don't know what the outcome is yet, but they're willing to play with the frequencies, the energy, and the vibration for the solution to appear. They're willing to be the person who expands their frequency and upgrades their frequency, which is who they are, believing that yes, the solution is available in the quantum field right now. My job is just to tune into it. If I was knowing myself as the financial alchemist, I could just tune into the frequency of the solution right now and download it. Now, that sounds amazing to do, doesn't it? The secret is to hold the frequency. Like when you're tuning into that, going, okay, universe, I know that there is a solution. I'm tuning into that frequency and I'm going to hold that frequency. I'm going to be the person who holds, what do I need to say to myself to be able to hold that frequency? Instead of dropping out of it and going, oh, I don't believe that that's possible, or, you know, abundance isn't available for me, or this stuff works for everybody else, but not me. Because you will be tested, folks. There will be moments where you're like, this is not working. And then your emotions will get involved and you'll feel angry and frustrated and annoyed with your manifestation process. And then you'll probably do something crazy like make yourself wrong, which is not ideal. And the work really is for you to come back to center and to go, no, universal law applies to everybody. I know that there is a solution to this because this is just energy and frequency. It's a problem disguised as an opportunity for me to reclaim my power, to step into being the person who can hold the frequency, my ideal self, who knows how to hold the frequency longer than I am currently doing. So it's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to stretch. As soon as you see it like that, you increase your power proposition. When you do that, the universe goes, oh, you are the person who wants to receive the solution. So let's start putting you on that path. Okay, go and talk to this person. Pick up the phone, have that conversation. And oftentimes, folks, I have seen it where people have just been willing to take those guided action steps. And yes, the bill does disappear. Or yes, something miraculous happens where it gets wiped or medical aid steps in. Or again, but we don't want to beat ourselves up if we're not creating that outcome instantaneously. We want to be the person who's like, I'm holding the vision for the ideal solution to be manifested, and I'm staying in that vibration. I'm staying in that vision. I'm holding the vibe, right? And I'm taking care of the physical stuff, and I'm taking care of the energetics. I'm doing what it takes to be the person who paying this bill is no problem. Because when you can do that, it's like the tide raises all boats. If you can do that for your bills, you'll see more money reflected in your bank account because you're holding a greater power proposition, and the universe will always flow abundance to people who are holding their light and their frequency in a really powerful way. So another variation of that question, I seem to manifest just enough, not extra. So this is cool because I've got an exercise for this that I want to share with people, which is called your money ceiling and your money floor. So your money floor is the minimum amount of money that you've made in a month over the past 12 months. So let's use the example that maybe that's $500, okay? And then your money ceiling, your current money ceiling, because this can all shift and change, your current money ceiling is the maximum amount of money that you have created in a month. Now, some of you, if you get bonuses and things like that, you might need to take some time to actually sit down and work this out and kind of extrapolate it out over the last year, but get the most amount of money that you've made in a month. You know, for some people that might be quite easy because maybe those two figures are the same because you're in a job. Right, but your money floor being $500, let's say your money ceiling is $10,000. Your next opportunity, right? So the gap between that, so that's $9,500. What you do is you take the range, which is the $9,500. That's the difference between your money floor and your money ceiling, and you add it to your money ceiling. So what you should be aiming for, especially if you're a coach or your income is unlimited, you want to be aiming for $19,500. That becomes your new money range over the month. Now, what this does, of course, is it helps you, A, to identify what your what your minimum that you're receiving is, what your maximum that you have been receiving over the last 12 months, and then a new set point. Because what we want to do is we always want to make our money ceiling our next money floor. So that would mean your next money ceiling $19,500, your money floor would be $10,000. Does that make sense? Because we want to get comfortable with the fact that, again, it's like walking up an escalator and having the escalator kind of move down. So your money ceiling becomes your money floor, your next money ceiling becomes your money floor, your next money ceiling becomes your money floor. And maybe even an elevator is maybe a better analogy, where you're just going up and up and up and up and up. Now, does it always happen in reality? Not always. Sometimes you might go up and down, but it's about energetics. Because energetically, your money base, $500, your money ceiling, $10,000, what you're saying to your energy field is, I'm calibrating to the next range. This is what I'm choosing. I'm choosing for $10,000, the energy of that, to become my next money floor, and the higher range, $19,500, to become my money ceiling. So you're kind of shifting your energetic frequency. And there's energetics behind this in terms of making yourself open and available to be able to receive that. So, Adriana, what I would do is actually do that exercise. And again, for some people, if they're at a job and say you're making $6,000 a month, and that's what you've made every month for the last 12 months, what I would be doing is I would just be doubling it. Right, I'd be looking at if you receive any bonuses, but then I would ask myself, you know, has there been a time in my life where you've maybe manifested a lump sum? How much was it? Because what we're really doing is we're asking your body and your energy field, to what level are you comfortable receiving? And then the work becomes, what does it take for me to keep on resetting my money floor? What is it, Kate, to keep on doing that, to keep on doing that, to keep on doing that? Now, if you have a job and you are on a salary, if you get bonuses, amazing. If they're lucrative, even better. If they are not, if you are on a set income and that is it, the way to do this is to start opening another portal. So that looks like a side hustle. That looks like something else. Now, one of the best ways to do this is to tune into your heart and decide to do something that makes you feel joyful, right? Follow the money by following joy. Money will always be a side effect if you're doing something that you feel joyful about. Why is this so important? Because if you're doing something that you love, it's going to be so much easier for you to get your energy behind. And I would totally encourage people to do something that just seems like it would never work, versus choosing something that is mundane just because you're trying to use it to make money. So let me give you an example. Say you really love knitting. I would encourage people to pursue that and monetize it in some way. Maybe it is doing, this is how you knit a really big chunky blanket, and selling videos of that on some kind of platform, rather than just choosing to do, I don't know, affiliate marketing or something like that. Because you're going to have more enthusiasm, you're going to feel more joyful, your passion will help to sell that, and it's a win-win. You get to do what you love while you're also offering something to be remunerated for. A lot of times people choose things that are just like are making money, like get rich quick kind of stuff, and it falls over because you can't galvanize your energy behind it, especially if you already have a full-time job. You know, what is something that you love? Now, this is the work often too. Like Susanna said before, starting a business. When I left banking, I went all in on my coaching practice. Now, one of the best things about that is I had no option. I was all in. It was sink or swim. So I had my back against the wall. I had to make it work. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that again for my central nervous system. However, the advantage of doing that was you made it happen. Now, often if you have a job, it can be easy not to have discipline. So if I was starting my business again and say I still had a part-time job, and in fact, I did actually do that. I did start when I still had other employment doing coaching work, start doing it alongside. But if it's something that you're passionate about, it's going to be so easy to show up for it as opposed to something where you feel like you have to. Now, this is sometimes where we have to be discerning, because if we have a belief system in the way, we need to address that. And that's going to happen in business, whether you're currently aware of it or not. You know, most people don't just glide into a business and have it become super successful overnight, because there's energetics at play. You do have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in what you're offering. You have to believe in that there are clients out there who need your work. You do need to get really good at knowing how to address the value that you offer and inviting people into that value so they can see that your work is valuable. There are beliefs that you're going to have to move through. Like, it's safe to invite more people into working with you. You couldn't believe the number of entrepreneurs that I've worked with, folks, and they're actually on some level scared of people, scared of either being hurt by people or scared of hurting people, and that stops them from taking on more clients. It's like their energy starts tapping out because their energy is like, oh, I don't know if I'm available for this or if I've got the capacity to be able to receive these people. So these are things that we're not consciously walking around thinking, but we do need to address, and especially your money beliefs. Anywhere you've got shame around money, anywhere you've seen your family behaving badly around money, that can impact how money shows up for you. And again, your conscious mind might not believe it, but it is all playing out through your subconscious. And that's why your intuition is so genius at helping you to identify what is actually going on for me. Right? What do I really believe about money? What part of me, like, there's another question here from Delise. That for I need more for some reason and it will fix everything. That's a really interesting belief. Is that true? No. I talked before about how I manifested quite a big lump sum of money and I was like, oh, I'm going to be happy now. And then I was like, oh my goodness, it doesn't work like that. Your happiness and your money are not fused together. You want to choose your own peace and happiness and cultivating that and have money be a byproduct of your happiness and your joy. A lot of people think that the money will bring them the satisfaction, the fulfillment, the happiness, and it does not. Money is an inanimate object. Yes, we are in relationship with it, but we're the ones putting the emotion into it. We're the ones saying, yes, this is amazing, or no, it's not. And that's the thing. Money literally can't give you anything emotionally. You're going to be the one that determines that. Now, don't get me wrong. Spending money can create a lot of happiness. Being able to be generous with other people can create a lot of happiness. But fundamentally, at a foundational root, money can't do anything for you. You want to see it as a byproduct of who you're being. It's got nothing to do with your value because your value is inherent. Your value is not determined on how much money you have in the bank, but maybe how you see yourself might be reflected to what you're allowing. Are you allowing yourself to go big? Are you allowing to have your money ceiling become your next money floor so you can keep on elevating? What needs to shift inside of yourself so it's safe to be able to receive more? This is fundamentally, energetically, so important, especially for women. Because women often, you know, we're the ones who are the receivers. We want to be in that feminine receptive energy. We need to feel safe in order to do that. Safety through the subconscious, safety through the physical body, safety through what we tell ourselves. So, Adriana, seemed to manifest just enough, not extra. What does it take to start doing those money floor, money ceiling exercises and kind of looking at what your band is energetically and then starting to make some choices? What am I going to choose to do to increase that? One of the number one things that you want to do is look at your own value proposition. Do I value myself enough to choose more? If I was valuing myself, how would I like to make money? What feels good to me? What feels inspiring? What is something that I could energetically get myself behind and to open up so it feels really good to receive money for whatever it is that I'm offering? Because that's how money works. You have to offer something in order to receive money for it. So what is that going to be? This is the conversation that I would be having myself if I'm like, oh, I just seem to make just enough. And also too, like Delise says, is it okay to just have more and maybe not have any purpose for it, to have excess? A lot of the times this can be conditioned from some old belief systems, like you have to work really hard to create money, and if you work hard for it, then you have to spend it in a particular way, which can often feel restricted and limited. You know, more money is definitely not going to fix everything. It might help make it easier to make decisions to buy a holiday, but that doesn't relate even to your fulfillment. I've met a lot of multimillionaires who are miserable. A lot. Money does not change your happiness frequency. You're the one who does that, which is why true abundance is the inside job. True abundance is your work of creating fulfillment inside of yourself so you can enjoy your money more. Yes, and it's not safe to have more. That is massive for women. A lot of times it's like, if I receive it, somebody's going to take it away. If I receive it, it means that there's more work for me to do, more responsibility. If I receive it, I don't trust myself to hold it. If I receive it, then I'm going to have to ask other people for help, and that makes me feel vulnerable. If I receive it, how can I trust the people around me that they're going to be trusted financial advisors? I do that often, folks. I look at my banking. I look at, you know, who supports me in terms of a solicitor, in terms of real estate agents. And I do that with a lot of consciousness. Does this person get me? Can I ask them a question without feeling silly? Do I know that I can ask them a question that I don't know the answer to and know that they're not going to make me feel stupid because I don't know? Right? These are all things that you, because these are your trusted financial advisors. You want to be able to trust them. Even asking yourself that question, do you trust your solicitor? Do you trust your bank manager? Do you trust your real estate agent? These are not stupid questions, right? These are questions which are valid. And if you have any cause for concern, you want to address that. You want to be an adult and make educated financial decisions, especially with the people who are going to be the stewards for your money and for your financial abundance. You want to have good energetic boundaries around this stuff, because you want them to not necessarily care as much as you do, but you want them to be able to support you in a way that you desire to be supported. Because when you feel supported, that's going to flow into your money. So again, not feeling safe to have more, that's worthwhile unpacking, to ask more questions and go, okay, what is the story there? Why is it not safe to receive more money? What does that mean? What am I making it mean? Because often too, this can come back subconsciously to opinions or attitudes that our parents or family may have had around people who had money. That maybe they're crooks, or they're dangerous, or they're gangsters, or they're doing something duplicitous and that's why they have money. If we're holding those kind of beliefs inside of ourselves, we will literally repel money away from us, because there'll be another part of us that's going, well, I don't want to be duplicitous. I don't want to be a gangster. I want to be good. So that's literally how you can end up repelling money. Okay, got Gina here too saying, oh, looks like I've had all of these at some point. Yes, I've noticed that if I make more money, the week after there is the exact amount less. Oh, interesting, Gina. Again, I'd encourage you to look at that money floor, money ceiling exercise and start going, okay, what does it feel like to move into that next elevation? What does it feel like for me to stretch into that? What would I be doing? Who would I be, the person who's making $19,500 a month, as an example? Whatever your numbers are, totally fine. Notice how you feel about them. Does it feel good? Does it feel expansive enough? Do you notice some sensations in your body when you're looking at it? You know, that's a really good thing to do, because your awareness will be showing you, oh, this feels good, or your awareness will be showing you, oh, this does not feel good. You want to start asking yourself some more questions if it's feeling contracted, if it's feeling like, oh, this doesn't feel great. Okay, so Hebe says there's something innately wrong with me or the way I do things, so money isn't going to come to me. Okay, again, a classic story belief system in play. This is one of the hardest things, I think, for people to realize, is universal law applies to everyone. That means if you're a human in a body on the planet, universal law applies to you. It can be so easy to go into comparison. It can be so easy to look at other people's lives and go, they've got it all sorted. And clearly I don't. That's where your question takes me to, Beauty, which is, there's something wrong with me, is really a comparison. Because what you're saying is, there must be something wrong with me because everybody else seems to have got it sorted. That's not true. And again, I just said, I know a lot of multimillionaires who are miserable. I wouldn't call that sorted. I would call that a travesty. Right, that they are miserable and they are wealthy in a way that's even more isolating. It's nothing to kind of reach and strive for. It's kind of ennui, you know, like boredom energy. Oof, and that's even scarier in some ways. And I think a lot of times people can get caught up in striving and striving and striving for money, and then they reach a place of making a lot of money, and then they take a moment to stop and breathe and realize that they feel exactly the same as when they made $100,000 or, you know, their first $5,000 contract or whatever it was. You can feel exactly the same. You can make money and it not necessarily change you from the inside out. That's why intuitive abundance is about creating that satisfaction, that fulfillment, listening to your heart's desires, following your intuition, because that is the process of creation, and that is inspiring and aspirational, and that is the kind of energy that lights you up. Because what you realize in that place is, it's not about the outcome, it's about how you feel as you go through the process. And then it becomes like you can just apply that to the next thing that you're looking to create. And it's never in the outcome. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you'll manifest something or you'll create something. You'll be like, wow, that's amazing. And then 2 minutes later, your brain goes, okay, what's next? You know, we're kind of designed like that as humans. Don't you think that is kind of fascinating, that humans can just, instead of actually going, wow, I'm an amazing creator. I'm an amazing manifester. I'm an excellent receiver of all good things. Actually celebrating that, celebrating how magnificent we are in terms of what it is that we do create, what we have already created, dropping back into those frequencies of appreciation to go, I'm actually already good at this. Look what I already have created. This is incredible. Grounding down into that, going deeper into that. So again, if you have jealousy, folks, jealousy is just showing you your own potential. Have you ever noticed that you're never, ever jealous of somebody who does something completely different than you? Let's put it this way. A ballerina is never going to be jealous of a basketball player, and vice versa, because they're in completely different worlds. They might be able to appreciate the other person for their athleticism. They might be able to appreciate the training, the skill, the hard work, but they're probably not going to be jealous of each other because they're not in the same line of work. People you are jealous of are showing you your full potential. But what you want to do is, you want to say to the universe, oh, this is really interesting that this jealousy is here. What is my version of that? And then you want to pull your finger out and go and do it. Because that jealousy, it's showing you unbirthed potential in yourself. And we all know that feeling, right? It can feel like a hot poker. So when we go into, there's something wrong with me, in a way, sometimes too, it's worthwhile checking, you know, am I using that as energy to prevent me from going and doing the thing? Like, it's a really good way to self-sabotage yourself, isn't it? To say, there's something wrong with me, so it doesn't matter. Even if I did go and do something, it's not going to make any difference, so I might as well not bother. But I can just sit here and kind of navel gaze and make myself wrong and disconnect myself from other people and feel really isolated. Rather than learning how to run the energy in a different way and appreciating what I've already created and acknowledging my gifts, skills, and talents and being willing to share those with other people, because I know that I'm here to serve. I'm a messenger of the divine, so I'm here to be in service to others and to be the person who clocks the ego, gets it out of the way so they can show up and serve. So they can show up and therefore have money be a byproduct of that. And I know, folks, it's sometimes hard to do that if we don't feel safe. So that's what we have to learn. And again, that is what is available to you through coaching work. How do I create more safety inside of myself so I can feel safe about moving into my greatness? Nobody propels themselves into greatness without feeling safe. Because if you don't feel safe, you're not going to show up and do that Facebook Live. You're not going to show up and share your offer. You're not going to show up and go, wow, this is really amazing. Your energy is going to be off. You'll be like, this is my offer, but maybe you want it, but maybe you don't. And I'd really like it if you did say yes to it, but you're not even saying yes to it. So why would your clients say yes to it? Right? Your energetics are important. Don't let your mind make yourself wrong about this, though, because the mind can go, oh, this is a problem. I need to go and fix it. We want to allow the mind to just take a break. Right? We want to turn the mind down. We want to listen to your soul rather than your mind. So much more pleasant, so much more loving, so much more kindness available from your soul than from your mind. The mind can be really ruthless. The mind can just love to find all the little things and nitpick and make you wrong and beat you up. You have to be the one who says, shh. Not available for that anymore. I am not going to beat myself up. I am not going to beat myself into the next version of abundance. It does not work like that. I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to galvanize my energy so it's all moving in the same direction. I'm going to be supportive towards myself. I'm going to do the work, right? Because it is work. It does take effort. There is something that is required. We don't have to strive to be our limitless self. More often than not, we just have to let go. Let go of playing small. Let go of beating ourselves up. Let go of, like, you know, going uncertain or getting wobbly where there is uncertainty. We better be the person who brings certainty to uncertainty, who brings confidence to our uncertainty, who loves ourselves into the next evolution of ourselves, who accepts our emotions but doesn't let them hold you back. You're the one who wants to be the person who's creating an inner world that's very loving and kind, but also has discipline. And that discipline is, I don't allow myself to beat myself up. I'm not going to make myself wrong. I'm not going to shame myself into the next version of anything. I'm going to love myself, but I'm also going to move. I'm going to take the action steps. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to choose more for myself, and I'm going to allow myself to be free. And I know that money will be an amazing byproduct of that. Choosing who you are, money will always be there for you. Always. Because the universe will support you in that. You choosing you is the most important thing. This has been so much fun answering these questions. If you'd like your question answered, do come and join us in Elegant Wealth. We have a training once a week. It's not on a particular day and time, but you can go into the featured tab and the Facebook group, folks, and you can look at all the old other videos in regards to wealth creation. Some of the ones that we have there are in terms of money mindsets. The number one secret to manifestation is in there. We've got Shamelessly Rich is in there as well. There's a few other videos under that tab. That's just off the top of my head. So do be sure to join us. 3 money mindsets to grow your coaching business, whatever it is that you're looking to do. But this is the number one thing that I want you to take away. Wealth creation should be joyful, right? Wealth creation, you want it to be fun. You want it to be enjoyable. You want it to be pleasurable. You want it to be like the most amazing fun game that you've ever played. You know, if you ever played Monopoly as a kid with your family, we used to play that. It's fun, right? Allow it to be fun and it will be. Allow it to be joyful, and it will be. Allow you a process of abundance, because that is true abundance. True abundance is expansive, joyful, pleasurable, good for everybody. Set that intention and allow yourself to have that experience as you move into more and more on your journey to abundance. I am sending you so much love and light. I'll look forward to connecting with you again next time on the Intuitive Abundance Podcast. Bye for now. Hey folks, thanks for listening to the show today. It is always a pleasure to have your company. Please be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. And if you found this information beneficial, please do write us a review on iTunes especially. That really helps other people to find this information, and we would very much appreciate that. If you would like to connect with me directly, the best place to do that is www.rebeccadavison.life. That's L-I-F-E. Davison is spelled D-A-V-I-S-O-N. If you'd like to connect there, we can have a conversation about what it takes for you to activate your inner power proposition and to be able to create the income levels that you desire. From my heart to yours, I very much appreciate you tuning in and listening. I'm sending you so much love and many, many blessings. And I want you to know that everything is available to you. You have the power within you, and that's the best place to look. Sending you so much love and many, many blessings. Till next time, bye for now.